We're not going to go to the Gospels. You know that story. We're going to go to Romans. Not that it wouldn't be fun, but I thought it would be a blessing to look at this, because this is just one of those foundational parts of Scripture that we all come back to day by day. Not, you know, any time of year. We need to recognize who we are in Christ and what we have. And that's really the celebration of this season, this time of year. You know, the birth of Christ is celebrated. Yeah, we know it was in September more than likely and not in December. We know these things, but praise God, we're celebrating. You know, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Because without Him coming and accomplishing what He accomplished, we would have nothing. Israel would have nothing, and then by extension, because of the great mystery that God kept secret in Himself since before the foundations of the world, none of us who were outside of Israel would have anything. But we do have what we have as sons of God because of what Jesus Christ did, and that is a great celebration. It's because of the life of Jesus Christ that we no longer are in conflict with God. We no longer are at loggerheads with Him. We no longer have to think that we're not worthy to be in His presence, because in Christ we have been made God's kids, and God will do anything for us. He's proved it time and time again. You know, and that's really the great celebration about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He was born, that He lived, that He accomplished what He accomplished, and now we have the benefit of His life. We benefit day in and day out, every minute of every day, by the life of Jesus Christ. And Romans chapter 8, this was on my heart this morning, so I wanted to share it with you. It starts out in Romans chapter 8, after having given so many great things about what Jesus Christ accomplished for us in the first 7 chapters of Romans, it speaks of what we now have to think about and come to know. Verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." The rest of the verse is not in the original, so you can scratch it out here. It comes up in a few verses. But there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, no judgment in a negative way to them who are in Christ Jesus. That is a celebration. That is something to celebrate. Because we are no longer, in God's eyes, are we to be judged negatively. No condemnation. God does not condemn us for falling short of the mark. And we all do from time to time. None of us are perfect. That's why we celebrate Jesus Christ, because He was perfect. And He earned for us what we couldn't earn for ourselves. And because of that, no condemnation now. None. God does not think to condemn you, and neither should you think to condemn yourself. For, and here's the reason why, in a very interesting way of putting it, in chapter 1, 8, verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Two laws. There's the law of sin and death, which is very well put right there. Couldn't have said it any better. God, only God could say it the way He said it. The law of sin and death. There is a law that regards sin, and the ultimate consequence and outcome is death. That's what it is. It's the law of sin and death. But then there's the other law, which is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That is a law that we have, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's why there's no condemnation. Because it is a law that you now in Christ have the Spirit of life. Not sin and death, no longer that law, but the law of life. And it is spirit and life. See? It's no longer sin and death, it's life because of that spirit that you have through Christ. That's why there's no condemnation. That's something to celebrate. Praise God, I'm alive. Spiritually, I am alive. Spiritually, I before God and you before God, we stand as righteous. No more condemnation. No more condemnation because of anything that you could ever do in your flesh. You know, people want to argue. They want to think about hypothetical situations. Well, what about somebody who's committed murder? No condemnation to those who are in Christ. It doesn't add a little paraphrase there, except for people who commit murder. It doesn't say that. It's what people want to diminish the reality of the accomplishments of Christ. And yet God wants to elevate them. Doesn't mean we're free to go do stupid things. We are free to live because of the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what we have the freedom to do, to live now. For what verse 3 says the law couldn't do, what the law could not do. The law could not do something because it was weak through the flesh. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That's why there is now peace between you and God. Because the sin that we have in our flesh, that's been condemned. And now we live under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law couldn't bring you to that point. Because the law was weak in that it dealt with the flesh. It could not accomplish what God's design was. And the law came so that we could know that we couldn't do it for ourselves. That's why God said, okay, how about this? After Abraham, right, Moses comes along, he brings the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, and then he says, okay, how about this? Now let's set up a law to show you for sure that you can't do this by yourself. You need me. You need what I will provide for you in the Messiah. So he sets up the law. And everybody measures themselves up against the law and they find themselves falling short. I have fallen short again. According to this law, I fall short. But now the Messiah comes. He comes. He is born. He lives. He accomplishes by His faith in God what we couldn't do. He lives perfectly according to that law, and now we reap those benefits. We couldn't do it by the flesh and the law of sin and death. But we have it because of what God provided for us in Christ. Verse 4, here's the purpose of why God did what He did. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteousness of the law being fulfilled in us. That's something to celebrate. It's not anything but God's grace. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We no longer judge ourselves by our flesh. We judge ourselves by that Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We judge ourselves as who God has judged us to be. Righteous. We have, because of Christ, we reap the benefits of the righteousness of the law. It's fulfilled in you. Not, it will be fulfilled in you if you walk by. No, it is fulfilled in you. It is fulfilled. The righteousness of the law is now fulfilled in you. Now you walk not according to the flesh, but according to that Spirit. It doesn't say who walk after the law. It says you don't walk after the flesh, you walk after the Spirit. Okay? For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. They have to be concerned about the things of the flesh. If all they have going for them is their work by their flesh, then they have to be thinking about it. They have to be thinking, oh, have I stolen today? Have I lied today? Have I cheated today? Oh my gosh, I don't know. We no longer have to think about that. We recognize our shortcomings and we confess, like it says in 1 John, God, you know, I blew it. I fell short. I failed to believe You. He's faithful and just to forgive you. But what we do is we no longer have a mind. We're no longer focused on those things of the flesh. We focus our heart and mind on who we are in Christ. What God has made you. That's how we focus. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They mind those things of the Spirit. We think those things. We think, we focus on all those things that we are in Christ. And we have in Christ. And that makes us confident. that makes us recognize that, oh, I guess God would be willing to do these things for me because I have the righteousness of God fulfilled in me. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled in me. So why wouldn't God answer my prayer? Why wouldn't God take care of those things that I need? Why wouldn't He do that? The righteousness of the law has been fulfilled in you through the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. Why wouldn't He? The only reason He wouldn't is if you go back to verse 1 and say, no, I have a reason to condemn myself. And you refute the truth of the Word. When you reject the truth of the Word, then God has no choice but to wait on you to accept it. It's the only reason why He wouldn't do something for you is if you refuse to believe what His Word says about you. And even then, sometimes, you know, He goes beyond and He blesses you anyway, because that's grace. And then look what it says in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, I mean, what would you rather have? Would you rather have life and peace? Would you rather walk around like a zombie? Dead. Right? That's dumb. That's a simple choice. So how do we get this life and peace? We become spiritually minded. We just recognize that no matter how bad our flesh is, no matter how much it falls short time after time, we just refuse to condemn ourselves because we know that in Christ, I have the righteousness of the law fulfilled in me. And that makes us so grateful. Doesn't it? It makes you grateful. It makes you thankful. It makes you rejoice. It makes you happy. I'm happy that I don't have to walk after my flesh or give my flesh that much concern. You know, yes, I got to feed it. I got to keep it going. May want to do exercise once in a while. But I'm really focused on what I am in Christ. That's the key to living and having peace. If we want peace in the world, this is the way to have it. Right? You know, was it the angels that said, you know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men? You know, what is the context of that statement? It's the birth of Christ, right? Now there can be peace, not all over the earth, but peace between each individual and their Heavenly Father because the Messiah has come. And this is an indication of God's goodwill. It's proof of His goodwill toward all men. His goodwill. You're going to hear that phrase a lot. You know, that quote from Scripture a lot this time of year. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Who established the peace? Not men. God established it by giving His Son. And whose goodwill is that towards men? It's God's. It's God's. It's all about God. It's not about what you and I can do to establish peace. It's about what God has done to establish peace between you and Him. And He's done it. He's established it through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. It goes on to say a lot of great things. And then it says in verse 14, look at verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, you have the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You have it within you. Right? You have the Spirit of God within you. It's called Holy Spirit. It's that gift. And now we are to be led by that Spirit. And as we're led by that Spirit, we're led by it by thinking, by minding the things of the Spirit, by continuing to focus our mind on who we are in Christ, then we are really evidently the sons of God. If we're going to be carnally minded, no one will look at you and say, well, there goes the Son of God. Will they? If you're always carnally minded? No. But when you're spiritually minded and you're recognizing there's no condemnation, that you have the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus working within you, that you have the righteousness of the law fulfilled in you, and you think that about yourself. You know that in the depth of your heart about yourself, that you are before God who God says you are and what He has made you, not what you've tried to make yourself. Then you are evidenced as a son, a daughter of God. Then people look at you and say, whew, that guy is a son of God. You know, they will see the power of God working in you. They will see your ability to love the unlovable. They will see your ability to have joy in the midst of catastrophe, hope in the midst of calamity. You know, whatever. They'll see you rise above. They'll see you as more than a conqueror. It will become evident. But not before you begin to think spiritually and quit thinking carnally about yourself. Let God do something for you. Quit thinking you got to do it all yourself. He's already made you His son, His daughter. He's already made you the righteousness of Himself in Christ. Continue to focus that. Continue to live that way, and you'll walk around and people will see. They'll see it in your life. They'll look at you sometimes and they'll go, I know who you used to be, but boy, you're different. Or, I know what was going on in your life. How did you get through that? Oh, the doctor said you were going to die in 6 months. How come you're still alive? All these promises of God, health, prosperity, victory in every situation, all these promises of God, you will evidence in your life as you stay spiritually minded. So that is really my encouragement to you, because you are a son, a daughter of God. See? Think about that. Know that in your heart, and it will become evidenced. Because verse 15 says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. There is no servitude that we have to do. Bondage is servitude. You don't have to be afraid. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. You don't have to be afraid of anything. But we have received the spirit of sonship as adoption. And that's why we can look to God and cry unto Him, Abba Father. But verse 15 again, right? You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. And Abba is that Aramaic term of endearment for God as a father. It's like, oh, you're my dear father. You know? It doesn't get any more endearing than Abba Father. Because we are His children. So be spiritually minded and manifest your sonship. Let the world see what a son or a daughter of God really is. Okay? Because that's who you are. So, Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your wonderful mercy and love for us. Thanks, God, that we have the joy of walking as Your sons and daughters, and that as we continue to focus on You and Your promises, that it becomes very evident, very plain in our lives. Thank You for just all You do to bless our lives. Thank You for taking care of the big things and the little things as only You can do for us, Father. And thank You that You're there for us each and every day. Thanks for this coming holiday season that we can have open doors to share Your word and share Your love with people and encourage them. And help us, Father, to encourage one another too, because we all love You and we're part of Your family. And that is the greatest family to be a part of. We're truly grateful for these things, grateful for all of Your blessings, for taking care of all of us, for Your hedge of protection around us in whatever we're doing, wherever we're going. And Father, for, again, open doors to share your word and to manifest your power. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.